It was a busy weekend in terms of roster management for a couple of teams on Rocky Top. First, the football team adds another 2024 commit, says goodbye to a defensive lineman to the transfer portal. Basketball team adds a player via the transfer portal. And Tennessee baseball sweeps a top five team in the country. Playing catch up here from the weekend that was right here on your Monday, Locked On Ball.
You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into it, your Monday edition of Locked On Vols. I am your host, Eric Kane. Appreciate you guys, as always, for hanging out with me here today and every day. Shout out you everydayers for being just that, everyday listeners and viewers of Locked On Vols. Whether it's wherever you get your podcasts, those audio downloads, a big help for me, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, wherever, and of course by subscribing and viewing us here on Locked On Vols on the YouTube channel. I got a fun show coming up here today. Got plenty to get into, but of course this episode is brought to you in part by FanDuel Sportsbook. It's the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today and go ahead and get started. Mailbag edition of the show is coming up tomorrow. Any questions that you guys have, Tennessee football, basketball, recruiting, baseball, whatever the case may be, if you guys just want to ask me a question, whatever it is, get it in there, hashtag Twitter Tuesday. Those DMs are open. Of course, you can tweet me as well. A little all over the place today. Going to discuss a 2024 addition to that class for Tennessee football and Jeremiah's Herd. Locked On NFL Draft had its mock draft here last week, and it's officially, 31 picks for the NFL first round. Where did some of those Tennessee players be mocked to by some of our fellow Locked On hosts? Going to get into that here in segment number one. Segment two, Dalton Kinnett, Northern Colorado, joins Tennessee's basketball team from the transfer portal. That Tennessee loses a player to the transfer portal in terms of football, defensive lineman Amari McNeil. That's coming up in segment two, and then we'll talk a little Tennessee baseball in segment three. So as you can see, a little all over the place here for this Monday show, but it was a very busy, busy weekend. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get into it. Jeremiah's Herd. All right, he commits to the University of Tennessee, and I'm really excited about this one, okay? And so, so many times you see, the NFL draft, and we're doing NFL mock drafts, we have been, and we've been discussing those, and of course, the NFL draft is coming up later this week, and really excited to see where some Tennessee Volunteers get drafted to, but obviously, a lot of teams will take some of these players strictly on just potential, right? Will Levis is going to be a top 15 pick because he has great potential. Anthony Richardson is going to be a top pick just because he has great potential. And with Tennessee's addition or Tennessee's commitment from Jeremiah's Herd, this is one straight on potential because right now there's not a whole lot of in the bank in terms of football that we can account for. What I mean by that is Jeremiah's Herd of Rome, Georgia. He is 6'8", 295 pounds. He is a lineman. He plays a little offensive line, plays defensive line. Tennessee likes him on the defensive side of the football right now, but I think the door is open for just about whatever. What I mean by this is a three-sport athlete, stars on the basketball court. That is his first love. He's a basketball player. He runs track, or should I say throws, the shot in the discus. And now he's entering his second season ever as a football player. He played one season this past fall, picked up an offer from Tennessee in December, was at the Orange and White game, went ahead and made his commitment known this past Friday. Jeremiah's Herd has committed to the University of Tennessee. But you talk about just raw athletic ability. He's a basketball player. Again, that is his sport. And so he's got good footwork. He's got a good vert. He's super athletic. 6'8", 295 pounds, and can move. And so you love that athleticism on the defensive line. And potentially, if you're forecasting maybe an offensive tackle, boy, you love that footwork there on the island and blocking a speedy Leo outside linebacker or a rush defensive end. So I'm really excited to see how this one turns out. Jeremiah's Herd, again, he from Rome, Georgia, and he's a guy that Tennessee just kind of fell in love with and is taking a chance on, right? And the more and more he plays, and again, he's got, obviously this upcoming football season, he'll pick up more and more offers, but, some other teams kind of jumped in the boat here of late, Georgia Tech being one of those among some others. And, Tennessee was the first one that offered him. Tennessee was the first one that really kind of paid him a whole lot of attention. And so He went ahead and committed to Tennessee this past Friday. I'm excited to see how this one turns out. This makes the 10th commit for the class of 2024. And Tennessee currently still has a top 10 ranking per the On3 industry rankings, 9th in the country. And previously it was 13th. And Tennessee just continues to slowly and methodically move up these recruiting rankings. Got a commit last week, got this commit on Friday. And, you know, looking really, really good doing it. So we'll see what Jeremiah's Hurd turns into. Just pure, raw, athletic. There's a lot about the sport of football that he's still learning, and he will have to be taught when getting to Tennessee. But at 6'8", 295 pounds, and a basketball player, I'll take my chances with that type of skill set and that frame any day of the week. Remember, Antonio Gates was a basketball player in college. He was an All-American in college. There have been many, many cases where basketball players turn football players, and yeah, they turned out just A-OK. So really, really looking forward to that. And again, Tennessee now for the class of 2024, still a top 10 ranking, 9th in the country with 10 overall commits. Jeremiah's Hurd commits to the University of Tennessee. All right, let's look at what our peers at the Locked On NFL Draft did this past week. They went through and made 1 through 31. Sorry, I've got something playing in the background here. It's a little annoying. I do apologize. Hopefully you guys can't hear that. They went through and made selections for the first round, picks 1 through 31, and they did a really, really good job, and I encourage you guys to go check it out. Go watch it on the Locked On NFL Draft YouTube channel. You guys can get it wherever you get your podcasts, but they seriously went through there, a couple of different guys, and you get pick 1, you get pick 2, you get pick 3, and so on and so forth all throughout the first round. That is done, and so I took a picture of it. I loaded it up here. If you're watching on YouTube, I'll flash it on the screen here for just a minute. That is what the first round looks like from the guys over at Locked On NFL Mock Draft. They did a really, really nice job. If you're perusing through this list right now, if you're looking at it, and of course you guys listening, I'll tell you, only one Tennessee volunteer selected in this mock draft. It is Darnell Wright at number 28 overall, selected, mocked to the Cincinnati Bengals. I like a lot about this, and some I don't. I think Darnell Wright's going to be more of a top 20 pick, but of course, as long as it's in the first round, I think that's okay. Not a whole lot of Hendon Hooker love in this one as well. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 trades in this first round. I don't think that there's going to be that much in the actual draft, of course. Anytime you're projecting trades in a mock draft, that's kind of tricky business. But the guys over at Locked On NFL Mock Draft, they did a great job. And I'll go ahead and read you off kind of what they did. Going number 1 overall to the Panthers is Bryce Young. 2 to the Texans is C.J. Stroud. 3 to the Cardinals is Will Anderson. They have the Colts staying pat at number 4, taking a quarterback in Anthony Richardson. 5th is Tyree Wilson to the Seahawks. Kaliah Kansi, a defensive lineman from Pittsburgh, is going to the Lions at 6. Jalen Carter of Georgia is going to the Eagles at 7. Christian Gonzalez, cornerback, is going to the Falcons at 8. Jackson Smith-Njigba is the wide receiver from Ohio State, going to Chicago at 9. And Devin Weatherspoon, cornerback, is going to the Raiders at number 10. That is your top 10, according to the guys at Locked On NFL Mock Draft 2023. Pick 11 is Paris Johnson Jr., offensive tackle, going to the Titans. And as far as we're concerned about Darnell Wright, that is the first offensive tackle selected in the draft. Quentin Johnson, wide receiver, going to the Texans at 12. 13th pick is Peter Skoronowski from Northwestern, going to the Jets. That's the second offensive tackle, followed by another offensive tackle. Broderick Jones of Georgia, going to the Patriots at 14. The Jaguars take Lucas Van Ness, edge rusher, 15th. And at 16th, it is the Commanders taking Brian Branch, the safety from Alabama. Move to the back half of the first round. Joey Porter Jr. going 17th to the Steelers. Miles Murphy, defensive end from Clemson, going 18th to the Lions. The Bucs take Bijan Robinson, running back from Texas, with the number 19 pick. You've got Dalton Kincaid, the tight end, going 21st to the Chargers. Jordan Addison, wide receiver from USC, formerly of Pittsburgh, going to the Ravens at pick number 22. 23 is Will Levis. Boy, they have Will Levis slotting in this one. Still a first-round pick. But the Seahawks using one of those big-time capitals in the top 37 picks, going 23 and taking Will Levis there. And if Will Levis is off the board again, Seattle at 23, that is one that's screaming Hendon Hooker. Michael Meyer, tight end, going 24 to the Packers. Deontay Banks, cornerback, going to the Giants at 25. Zay Flowers, 26 to the Cowboys. Keely Ringo, 27 to the Cardinals. Darnell Wright, 28th to the Bengals, followed by Osiris Torrance, 29th at Lions. Anton Harrison, defensive tackle to the Bucs at number 30. And Nolan Smith of Georgia going to the Chiefs at pick number 31. So do we think that's too high, too low, or just about right for Darnell Wright? Again, no pun intended there. I think that's probably a little low. I think he's going to be selected a little bit higher. I do not think that he's going to be the fourth offensive tackle selected in this draft. Broderick Jones might be the best overall tackle, but Peter Skoronowski is the one that's kind of been mocked ahead of them. I think Darnell Wright's going to be picked. I'll be shocked if Darnell Wright is selected as the fourth offensive tackle in this draft. I just think that he continues to be, projected, and I just feel like he has been one of the biggest risers in this draft class. And hey, if he does slide and it is the fourth offensive tackle taken, whoever gets him in the back half of the first round, maybe a Cincinnati, is going to be getting, just a really, really good player that is only going to be 22 years old in training camp that started over 45 Southeastern Conference games. So I disagree with the guys on him sliding that far. I also think that Hendon Hooker will be a first-round draft pick because we know we're going to see a run on quarterbacks. I don't think Will Levis is going to slide all the way to the 20s. I really don't. And because of that, I think that you're going to see Hendon Hooker slot into the last couple of picks there in the first round. So go check out the work. You guys did a really, really great job. Locked On NFL Draft. Locked On NFL Mock Draft is what they did, projecting the top 31 picks in the first round. And it's all out there for you guys to listen to and watch right now and hear what they have to say about Darnell Wright. All right, when we come back, we will take a look at a defensive lineman for Tennessee that has entered the transfer portal and another addition for Tennessee basketball from the transfer portal, all that and more. That's coming up next right here on Locked On Vols. But hey, I want to tell you guys about a proud sponsor of the show, and that is FanDuel Sportsbook. Grand slams, no hitters, and double plays, they are back, and there's no better place to get in on all the MLB action than over at FanDuel. It's America's number one sportsbook. That's right, because new customers can step up to the plate with a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn, sign up, place your bets, and get up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win. Baseball season's fun because you can do a whole lot of totals over, under, strikeouts, for a specific start for a starting pitcher, maybe home runs hit in a series, maybe home runs hit in the entire season. Take a slugger like Aaron Judge, maybe Austin Riley, maybe Ronald Acuna Jr., and place your futures bets as well over at FanDuel Sportsbook. You don't want to miss your chance to check out that no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to sign up. That is FanDuel.com/LockedOn. To sign up, FanDuel, it's the official partner of Major League Baseball. All right, guys, welcome back into it. Your Monday edition of the show. Don't forget, Twitter Tuesday is coming up tomorrow. So any questions, comments, concerns you guys may have about Tennessee football, recruiting, basketball, baseball, whatever you guys have, @_Caner and @LockedOnVols, get in those Twitter Tuesday for tomorrow's mailbag show. Locked On NFL Mock Draft Special is here. We were just talking about it in the last segment. It's bigger than ever. Follow along, all 32 teams' first picks. 32 teams, but only 31 picks. Remember that for this year. And a 6-episode ultimate mock draft experience only Locked On can deliver. All episodes are available now. It's on the Locked On NFL Draft on YouTube or wherever you find your podcast. Let's talk a little bit about Dalton Kneg. He is the third big addition, if you want to call it that, for Tennessee basketball last week. He made the announcements, I think it was around 8 o'clock on a Friday night. It was a busy Friday night. You had Jeremiah's Hurd committing to Tennessee football around 5:30 or 6, and then you had Dalton Kneg later on that night. And so a big-time stuff there. He is a shooting guard. He is a wing, rather, from Northern Colorado. He joined Santiago Vescovi, who said he is coming back. And, of course, Jordan Ganey, who Tennessee got from the transfer portal, and Chris Ledlam as well. It was a big week for Tennessee basketball, no doubt about it, in terms of additions that they got via the transfer portal. And, of course, the biggest one still, in my opinion, is getting Santiago Vescovi to come back and take advantage of that COVID year of eligibility. But Dalton Kneg, he is 6'6", 200-pound senior wing. He averaged 20.2 points per game, 7.2 rebounds per game, 1.8 assists per game in over 35 minutes in 32 games this past year. He shot 47.9% from the field, 38.1% from the three-point line. A whole lot to like there. Again, much like Chris Ledlam, who played over 33 minutes a game for Harvard this past season, Dalton Kneg played over 35 minutes per game for Northern Colorado. Again, unless you're Santiago Vescovi or maybe maybe Zakai Ziegler on occasion, you're not playing much over 33, 34 minutes. You're just not. But the ability to do so, I really, really like that. And Dalton Connect, obviously, you know, has that ability. 47.9% from the field, 38.1% from the three-point line. It's another shooter. Tennessee needs offense in the worst way. You're bringing up Jordan Ganey from USC Upstate, who, again, this is going into a new arena, a new level, into the Southeastern Conference. A guy that can shoot. Let's see if he can grow into that role and if he can grow into being a nice role player for Tennessee and some points and punch off the bench. You know, Dalton Connect the same way, right? He'll probably get an opportunity to play an awful lot. He's played a couple more years, certainly not on this level of the Southeastern Conference, but he's kind of been there and done that. And Tennessee kind of pinpointed him, got on a Zoom with him, got him to campus for an official visit, and ultimately he went ahead and pulled the trigger later that week. He said, hey, it just felt special from the moment I landed, he explained when coming off his official visits. Spending time with the Vols and going to the spring game stood out. Just seeing all the fans at the spring game was impressive. I mean, 50,000 at a spring game, that doesn't matter. That spring game that doesn't even matter shows you how much support is here at the University of Tennessee. Connect picked Tennessee over Oregon. Again, like I said, the third commitment out of the NCAA transfer portal following Jordan Ganey. And, of course, Chris Ludlam said that he felt kind of a connection with Rick Barnes and knew that he could help him with his overall game. Said, I liked how much he told me I could fit in and help this team. He made me see it's possible. He made me see that it's a possible home and has put a lot of players in the league. And that's the ultimate goal, is trying to get to the NBA. Santiago Vescovi announced that, of course, he was returning, Chris Ludlam, and, of course, Jordan Ganey. So a big-time week for Tennessee basketball, and Northern Colorado transfer Dalton Connect is the latest to make his connection, if you will, to the University of Tennessee. And that roster looks to be just about finalized. We'll continue to see about Julian Phillips. I wouldn't anticipate it, but Josiah Jordan James as well. Both those guys are going to go through the NBA draft process and kind of see what they have to say on that. All right, let's shift gears. Let's go back to the gridiron. Tennessee lost a defensive lineman, a scholarship defensive lineman, to the NCAA transfer portal, and his name was Amari McNeil. 6'4", 285-pound reserve defensive lineman. He played in seven games for Tennessee over the past couple of years, recording three total tackles, one pass breakup, and that was in two seasons with Tennessee. He is the Peachtree Ridge High School product out of Georgia, signed with Tennessee, a part of the class of 2021, and was a depth piece for Tennessee and for Rodney Garner each of the past two seasons. And he actually started to see a little bit of action there towards the end. I mean, you look up and in the Orange Bowl, you see 88 flashing out there. It's like, who is that guy? Well, that's Amari McNeil, and he actually played in a couple of games towards the end of the season as well. What we know about that rotation, of course, with the defensive line and Rodney Garner is he plays an awful lot of guys. And Amari McNeil is actually a guy that kind of stood out in fall camp as a guy that kind of changed his body a little bit. But ultimately, he didn't see a whole lot of snaps throughout the season. Didn't mean that he wasn't going to in 2023. Basically, the bottom line is Tennessee's just losing a depth piece from a defensive line that plays about 10 to 12 guys. So it just kind of is what it is. Best of luck to him. And I do think that coaches did like him. He worked hard, and he made a whole lot of strides here the first couple years that he was at Tennessee. But he entered the transfer portal on Friday. And, of course, let's remember, the transfer portal, it's open through April 15th until April 30th. So it's going to close at the end of this week. They don't have to pick where they're going. But if you are going to be in the portal, you have to submit your name in the transfer portal during that time period. So Tennessee loses Amari McNeil to the transfer portal. Not a huge loss. And, of course, the addition of David Hobbs on the defensive line and, of course, Omar Norman Lott from Arizona State, that should help, of course, you know, with the depth perspective and trying to get Tennessee with that 10 to 12 guy rotation. So not a huge loss, but did want to make note of that. And it's a guy that did make strides and a guy that took advantage of Rodney Garner, but he's going to go try to find some greener pastures elsewhere and try to see the field a little bit more. Hey, when we come back, let's talk a little Tennessee baseball. We discussed it, kind of the path what Tennessee baseball needed to make the postseason. We talked about that a little bit on Friday's show, and we said that, hey, it starts with this weekend with Vanderbilt. I'll be lying to you if I thought Tennessee was going to win this series. I'd be lying to you. I mean, I'd be floored if you would have told me Friday that Tennessee was going to sweep this series, but that is exactly what happened. What went right, and who is this new Tennessee baseball team? We'll talk about that here on the other side. This is Locked On Vols. All right, a final segment left here of this edition of Locked On Vols, Monday edition. Don't forget, it's your mailbag edition of the show. It is coming up tomorrow. Shout out Everydayers. Appreciate you guys. Looking forward to answering your questions tomorrow. And if you're not an Everydayer, become an Everydayer by subscribing to Locked On Vols on the YouTube channel and, of course, downloading us wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so Tennessee baseball going into the weekend, it had lost three straight series. It dropped one game. It won one of three at number one LSU. It's won one of three against number three Florida. It was swept at number five Arkansas, and it was getting just this tough stretch of SEC play, and then you return home for number four Vanderbilt. And Tennessee pretty much was a completely different team this weekend. Won all three games. Won in extras in game one on Friday in 12 innings, 4-3. Won in run rule fashion on Saturday, 17-1 in 7 innings. And then won 10-5 in the traditional 9-inning ball game on Sunday for the series sweep. What was the difference in this week compared to all the other weeks? Well, I'll tell you, Tennessee got excellent starting pitching throughout the entire week. And Andrew Lindsey was phenomenal on a Friday night. Chase Dolander went the distance and, of course, a run rule shortened ball game. But he pitched 7 innings strong, giving up just the one run in Saturday's game. And Drew Beam was phenomenal, pitching into the 7th inning on Sunday and getting Tennessee exactly where it needed to be, giving up only 2 runs, one of those which were earned. Also, timely hitting, hitting with runners in scoring position. Tennessee was, I think, 1 for 23 at Arkansas on the weekend, last weekend, hitting with runners in scoring position. Tennessee was 5 of 6 on Saturday through the 2nd inning in this series against Vanderbilt. They were phenomenal. I'll continue to total up all the numbers, and I'll have it over at VolQuest.com later on Monday for the weekly 3-2-1. But Tennessee is hitting with runners in scoring position. Tennessee hitting with runners on base. Tennessee hitting with 2 outs. Hey, Tennessee's 9 runs were scored and plated in the first inning of Saturday's Game 2. All 9 of those runs came with 2 outs. Tennessee scored 4 runs or 5 runs in Sunday's 2nd inning. All 5 of those runs came with 2 outs. Just a completely different ball club. Friday night, you can look back and say maybe this is the turning point of the season. Tennessee trailed 3-1 entering the bottom of the 9th inning. Kavars here steps up, hits a solo home run. Okay, good start, right? 3-2. Well, 2 outs later, Tennessee is down to its final out. And they call in a pinch hitter, freshman Dylan Dreiling. He steps up to the plate, goes behind 1-2, and then hits a game-tying solo home run over the right field wall to tie everything up at 3-3. You fast forward to the 10th inning. Tennessee calls on Chase Burns to come in out of the bullpen. Chase Burns, one of the most talented players on this team, one of the most talented pitchers in all college baseball. But hey, he has struggled in the starting rotation this year. Got replaced, point blank, got replaced going into the Arkansas series. And so now he has this new role coming out deep in the ball game's later innings, and they put it to a test there in the 10th inning on Friday, and he faced 9 batters in 3 innings of work, working the 10th, 11th, and 12th innings, and of those 9 batters he faced, he struck out 7 of those batters. Hit triple digits, I want to say 7 times. He was incredible. Might have been the most impressive thing in college baseball that I saw all weekend. He was phenomenal, and he was feeling it. Griffin Merritt subs into the ballgame as a pinch hitter in the 10th inning. I can't remember what he did, but he has to go into the field, didn't start this ballgame. And the only hit that Chase Burns gave up once he entered the ballgame was what was going to be a double into the right field corner. Griffin Merritt goes and collects the ball, throws an absolute rope to second base, tags out the base runner trying to stretch a single into a double. And that was Griffin Merritt coming into the ballgame. Fast forward to the bottom of the 12th inning with 2 outs, or with 1 out. I can't remember. Anyway, Griffin Merritt goes yard. Tennessee wins it on a solo walk-off home run. That is the type of ball game to where you can maybe look back later on in the year and say, okay, that is when it all changed. Tennessee, from that point on, outscored Vanderbilt like 20-something to 5 the rest of the way this weekend. Just incredible, right? Tennessee won game one, came on in game two, and Chase Dolander gave up a run on the top of the first inning, but Tennessee responded with 9 runs in the bottom of the first inning. Took control of this baseball game. and then moved on. And the same thing for, you know, game three when Tennessee scored five in the second and took control of that baseball game on Sunday. And another overarching theme of the weekend that has been different for Tennessee baseball the rest of the season. Tennessee played really, really good defense all weekend long. Zane Denton had a costly error on Sunday later in the ballgame that allowed a run to score. But really outside of that, you know, Maui Ahuna had a two-hit day, three-run home run on Saturday. He was flashing the leather all weekend long, making plays at shortstop. We were like, oh, okay, now I know why he's here at Tennessee. Where's that been all season long? You've seen a little glimpses of it, you know, throughout the season, but you hadn't seen the full picture to date. You saw the full picture of shortstop, former Kansas shortstop, now Tennessee shortstop, a member of USA's national team this past summer, a prize get via the transfer portal. It's going to be a high draft pick come this summer, Maui Ahuna. You saw it all this weekend. You saw it on offense. He moved back to the top of the lineup. He hit with runners in scoring position. He flashed the leather. There was one time where he made a nice backhanded stop deep into the 5-6 hole. And if you guys are baseball fans, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Like, that he didn't make the Jeter type play, but the ball was where that Jeter type plays, you know, usually made, deep into the hole. But instead of going over and doing the jump throw, he just goes, backhands it, plants his foot, and throws out the base runner at first. So impressive. Later in that game on Saturday, he goes and makes a basket catch over his right shoulder and, you know, looking good. Made a couple other really nice plays, getting out, you know, Enrique Bradfield Jr., who didn't have, to my knowledge, a stolen base all weekend long, but came into the series 26 of 30 and was one of the, you know, most dangerous guys on the base paths in all the SEC. Made a couple of plays at first to get that speedster out as well. So, man, Maui Ahuna was really, really good. And then there was the ejection of Christian Moore late in game two on Saturday. So he was unavailable for game three on Sunday. And if you watch the tape or if you watch the game and everything, I'm just going to kind of rehash it a little bit. But essentially, it's like 17 to 1, okay? And you're on the top of the seventh inning. All Tennessee needs is three outs, and it's going to be a ball game. And this will be the last thing I talk about baseball right now before kind of coming to the closing arguments. and there's a runner at first base, and Chase Ellinger's trying to finish this thing out. He throws to a guy. Guy pops out into foul territory down the first base line. Blake Burke, the first baseman, goes and makes the catch. Well, the runner at first was taken off on the pitch. He was trying to steal second. So he had to really, you know, double time it to get back to the bag. When he's coming back to the bag, Chase Dolander, the pitcher, goes over to cover the first base bag so they can try to double him up. He essentially gets there, and he pushes Chase Dolander off the bag. And he added a little bit of, you know, he extended his arms. He added a little bit more. You know, he was down 16 runs in the seventh inning. Things aren't going, you know, Vanderbilt's way. And Tennessee second baseman Christian Moore comes over there and gets in his face and is, like, shouting at him. And, of course, Tennessee's players kind of get him back, and Tennessee's, you know, coaching staff kind of gets him back and everything. It was not a big deal, in my opinion, okay? But he is tossed from the baseball game. They eject him. This soft as Charmin umpiring crew ejected Christian Moore from the baseball game. I mean, sure, you got to know the situation. You got to know that there could be consequences for going and doing that, but he was going and sticking up for his pitcher. He was going up and sticking up for the quarterback of their baseball team, and that being Chase Dolander. Don't put your hands on your pitcher, especially a prize pitcher in Chase Dolander. That's what Christian Moore was doing. There were even players who left the Vanderbilt dugout. They didn't do much. I mean, they didn't take many steps or anything, but they left the Vanderbilt dugout, and technically, per NCAA rule, all those players should have been ejected too, but they weren't. The guy that actually pushed Dolander, who was shouting and still screaming and talking crap the entire time they were trying to calm down Moore, he wasn't ejected, but the umpiring crew decided to eject Christian Moore. And Christian Moore, you know, he goes for the drama a lot of time. It is what it is, but in my opinion, he did nothing wrong in that situation. Bottom line, he had a service suspension on Sunday. Didn't matter. Tennessee was fine. Jake Kindrow actually started that five-run rally in the second inning. But point blank, it was soft as Charmin umpiring crew on Saturday. And, you know, it was just ridiculous because we're all there trying to watch that umpiring crew. So anyway, a great weekend for Tennessee. Fantastic weekend for Tennessee. Now you need to win some series you're supposed to win. Starting at home Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, you're going to be hosting Mississippi State, who's one of the worst teams in the league this year. Now that you have a sweep of Vanderbilt, why can't you sweep Mississippi State, right? The reason why sweeping Vanderbilt was so good is because it buys you some leeway here. Tennessee is in a race to get 14 SEC wins. Tennessee went from 5 SEC wins to 8 SEC wins this weekend. You have 4 more series to go against Mississippi State, at Georgia, Kentucky, and at South Carolina. Can you get to 14 wins? It's going to be tough, but the fact that you swept Vanderbilt, it buys you another game in their leeway to where you can maybe drop one somewhere else and can still get that 14 before the SEC tournament. A great, great week for the University of Tennessee baseball team. Oh, yeah, and if you continue to win these series, that RPI is going to take care of itself. So I think if you get the lucky number 14 wins in Southeastern Conference play, Tennessee baseball should be okay to get in the postseason tournament. Phenomenal weekend and really, really turn the tide, if you will, of the season, but you got to keep it up. So we will see if they can do just that. All right, that's going to do it here for this Monday edition of Locked On Vols. A little bit everywhere, right? We talked basketball portal additions. We talked football portal departures. We talked a commit for the class of 2024. We recapped the Locked On NFL mock draft for the first round and where they had Darnell Wright going. We talked a little baseball. All that type of stuff here, trying to play catch up here on a Monday. Hope you guys enjoyed it, and really, really do appreciate you being here as always. We'll be back tomorrow for the mailbag edition of the show. Please submit me in your questions, your comments, your concerns, whatever you guys may have at underscore Caner and at Locked On Vols. It is when you take over the show every single Tuesday right here on Locked On Vols. Shout out to the everydayers. Really, really do appreciate you guys. And if you're not an everydayer, hey, become an everydayer. Tomorrow, we'll see you back here right here on Locked On Vols.